Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. In the summer of 2006, Dr. Stephen Hadia arrived at Shadron State College in northwestern Nebraska. That winter, the mathematics professor disappeared without a trace, and 95 days later, his body was discovered tied to a tree and burned beyond recognition on a private ranch in the remote hills south of campus. Theories about what happened ranged from murder or suicide to even space aliens. Author and Sun magazine essayist Poe Ballantyne spent 6 years investigating the case while writing a memoir centered on the events. The book, Love and Terror on the Howling Plains of Nowhere, was published last year, and a new documentary of the same name based on the book came out earlier this year. It was screened in Shadron and Hot Springs earlier this fall, and the film is being screened tonight in Rapid City at The Garage. And following the film, there's a discussion with Poe Ballantyne and the film's director, Dave Janetta, who will join via Skype. Dave Janetta joins us now on the line from his home in Philadelphia. And Dave, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And joining us on the line from his home in Shadron is Poe Ballantyne. And Poe, welcome to the program as well.
Hey, hello, Carl.
Well, as I understand it, you were both working on the book and the film at the same time. Is that correct, Dave?
Yeah, that's correct. When I first got to Shadron in 2011, Poe had basically put the book on the shelf. He'd already been working on it for about 5 years, but there were problems and issues that he was having. And when I injected myself into the scene, he, I guess, got some renewed energy and was able to redo a lot of interviews, talk to people, and the book was finished about a year later.
So how did you get connected with Poe then, Dave? Were you working on this film or had the idea for the film independently, or did you know that he was working on this?
I had been a fan of Poe's for a long time, and I read an interview on a site called The Nervous Breakdown where he gave a paragraph blurb, and it just jumped out at me, and I just said, wow, I've got to see if I can make this into a documentary. So I wrote him a letter, and he got back to me. We corresponded through email for a little while, and I think he was not initially too amenable to the idea, but I think I was persistent enough, and he eventually acquiesced.
Poe, how much insistence did it take before you acquiesced?
Well, I suppose I was something of a curmudgeon, but I'll just make myself sound a lot better and say it was probably, two or three missives, and he was on board. Actually, I wanted to meet him first, and once I saw him in action, then I realized it was probably going to be a good thing for everybody.
Would you have been able to finish the book if he hadn't come down to start working on the documentary?
I would have certainly finished the book. I don't think it would have been as good because, as Dave said, this thing sort of geared it for me, and I got to interview some people who had been reluctant to talk. The camera's more powerful than the pen, especially these days. So also, we've just stumbled on some people, too, who turned out to be, key witnesses. Not two witnesses, but key testimonials. And, it was, as I say, it was a benevolent sort of a, it was a fortuitous set of circumstances because things were just, they started going our way around year five. Both of us had a lot of good luck in respect to this project.
Well, Poe, that sounds odd to me that people would be more willing to talk on camera than talk to just someone who's writing this down. It seems like if you're reluctant, you wouldn't want your face on camera.
Yeah, well, I think the reluctance came from a number of different quarters. I don't think people, around town, I wasn't really, I fly pretty low, and I don't think I was taken seriously. A lot of people were surprised that when the book came out, that I had been doing a book. And imagine that in a town of 5,000 when you're, investigating the crime of the century. But for whatever reason, and Dave's documentary just sort of made it official in everybody's mind. There was also the prospect by several people who, if they didn't contribute something, then it would make them look like they weren't being, responsible in respect to the issue, to the crime itself. So I think that, you know, Vance is a good example. Vance Howell, the county attorney, he's a good man. I think he did a good job. But I chased him for 5 years. Dave chased him for about a month. And on the last day of filming, he finally conceded to a non-committal statement. But, you know, and Dave suggested to him that if he didn't make some kind of statement, then it would just make him look bad. So this was working in our favor as well.
Dave, how does the film Love and Terror on the Howling Plains of Nowhere fit with the book? Are they complementary? Do they address different aspects of this story?
I like to say that they, you know, they are their own entities, but they inform and enrich the other. And I mean, Poe has a very strong perspective. I mean, he lived in the town. He lived through this. He knows most of the people, and although I know most of the people now, I was filming over the course of about 2 years. I was going in trying to be a bit more objective, and although most of the themes that I bring into the film, the themes and ideas that I was interested in talking about, I mean, those are the things that are interesting to Poe. Those are the things that he writes about. But you know, doing the film, I didn't have necessarily a very I didn't want to insert myself in the film, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and I didn't want my perspective to be really apparent. So I was letting people talk, and I was letting the various versions of the truth just foment and become part of the film. And you know, I don't think it's spoiling to say anything that we don't solve the crime, but I think we do add a lot of other basic truths and ideas. At least, you know, we try and scratch the surface. So I think. The short answer is, I think you should read the book and see the film.
now, Poe, is the book and the documentary something of a combination of not only the story of the disappearance and death of Professor Hadia, but also a personal memoir. How do these two elements then fit together, this sort of part memoir and part true crime mystery in both the book and the film?
Well, I've never done true crime. I'm not interested in true crime. So if I was going to tackle this thing, there were going to be other stories involved. And my primary objective, and I think that was Dave's objective too, was to humanize Stephen Hadia. So, you know, I painted the town and described its various characters and components, and drew some parallels between my own life and Steve's life. And, So I had already, you know, in place for a long time was the treatment of Shadron, because it's a fascinating town. I haven't lived in a place longer than this, than other than where I grew up, and so I was, you know, pretty well acquainted with it, and I thought it would be fascinating. Then when Stephen disappeared, and then of course after his body was found, then it fell naturally into place. Well, it wasn't quite natural, but I mean, I hope it looks natural, but it fell into place as a sort of a complete and complex narrative.
No, it seems to me that, from what I understand then, Paul, that after this happened, it was so mysterious and odd, and no one knew what happened, that everyone was trying to solve the crime in one way or another, just like you were?
I think a lot of people were confident in what the authorities had said. Of course, the case is open, so there's no official statement or ruling. But, you know, people we trust had, in their own personal opinions, had expressed that, you know, they saw it was a suicide. This is not a universal law enforcement position, but, you know, Carl Daly, our county sheriff, is pretty adamant. And Chuck, who was the lead investigator, Sergeant Chuck James, who was the lead investigator until the body was found, is pretty firm in his position that it's a suicide. So... and since we were given so little information and since we kind of took whatever threads were given to us and invented a few threads of our own, we made stories, we fabricated stories, and so I think people, you know, the human mind is amazing, and I think a lot of people were satisfied with the idea that it was a suicide. Of course, when they explore the actual evidence, then it doesn't look quite as clear-cut. But suicide is also, it's a very easy thing to accept because it eliminates the possibility of a killer in our midst. It sweeps away what was not the most sterling set of investigations by both the State Patrol and our local police department. So, but I think now that the information's out, there's a lot more momentum in the direction of a foul play.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Love and Terror on the Howling Plains of Nowhere is both a book by Poe Ballantyne and a new movie by Dave Janetta, and the movie screens tonight in Rapid City at the Garage in a special event beginning at 7 o'clock. And Poe will be there for part of a post-screening discussion, and Dave will be there via Skype. This film has screened in Hot Springs and Chadron as well. Dave, wondering, especially in Chadron, what the response was to this film by the locals.
Well, it premiered back in late April, early May in Toronto, and then it's been playing festivals since. And there's been a lot of excitement in the town because it was Halloween night by the time we actually premiered it. So I think there was a lot of anticipation, and people were, I think, curious to see what people would look like in town and how they would appear on screen. And obviously it's fun to see your own hometown and your neighbors, saying funny things and insightful things. But at the same time, I was a little bit nervous because you never know how, the way that you see a place and the way that you see people and portray them is, it's never quite how you see yourself. So, in the end, at least to my face, everybody paid me with very, very generous compliments and really seemed to enjoy the film. And it seemed to give them a new perspective on the case that they hadn't had, especially friends of Stephen who were worried that it was going to just be a true crime, exploitative portrayal of Stephen. They saw that it was, in fact, a very humanizing portrait and hopefully will lead to some discussion in town, reopen some old threads of investigation, and maybe get the crime solved.
For you, Paul, living in Chadron, both the book and the movie, has that changed your relationship at all with the town?
No, I think temporarily. Yeah, for a long time, I cooked when I first got here. I was Cook the Old Main. So, regardless of the fact that I had four books out, I was pretty much the cook, and there were just a handful of people who were aware that I was a writer. And this book was, I think, kind of a surprise. And then when they found out that I was doing a true crime treatment, they thought it was just going to be a stranger beside me or something. It was just going to be pretty much a straight journalistic account on what I had, the aspects of my investigation, and they were surprised to see themselves pictured prominently and in detail, and I think affectionately. So yeah, I'm getting some feedback. People come to my door, and we had some people from Fort Collins come in who had listened to the audiobook. They came in on Saturday, John from Wales and his wife Lisa. So I'm getting a little action, but except for the initial. When the book first hit the streets, there was some anger, I think. There was a lot of buzz and hubbub and some indignation. But that's pretty much subsided now that they've accepted it. But, things are... I don't think things have changed really much as far as my relationship with my neighbors and friends.
For you, Dave, from Philadelphia, how did you want to portray this town, Chadron, and this place, Nebraska in particular, which has been in a couple of other films lately as well?
I wasn't sure. I mean, I knew the town would be a part of the film. I didn't know how significant a part of the film it would be until I actually got there. And as people say in the film, as you'll see tonight, if you go, I mean, they talk about it in a number of ways, from being a great place to raise your kids to a place with this weird messed up energy that just seems to emanate from, you know, from the earth or something like that. And I felt very strongly when I first got there, just that it was a really unique and also, you know, stark but beautiful place. So I knew I wanted the landscape in the town pretty quickly to become part of the film, and it is. I mean, I think there are about 25 people that I interviewed, and they become a sort of Greek chorus. I mean, there are a few characters that stand out, but there are a lot that just fill in the story gap. So, you know, the location and the town and the people were all so unique, you know, as was Poe's story and as was this crime, that I knew that somehow they had to all, you know, gel and you know, coalesce. So if you haven't been to Chadron, I don't know. The reactions have been mixed. Some people, mostly in the town, say, I that's not where I live. You know, I can't, you know, it's completely different. Other people say, you know, that place looks amazing. You know, I can't wait to go visit Chadron. So I'm not sure it's exactly a postcard for the Chamber of Commerce, but for me anyway, I think it's a really, you know, great, beautiful, interesting little pocket of America.
The new film, Love and Terror on the Howling Plains of Nowhere, screens this evening in Rapid City. That begins at 7 o'clock at the Garage. The event is sponsored by the Numad Group and Jackalope in partnership with the Garage. And following the film, there's a discussion with author Poe Ballantyne and director Dave Janetta, who have been talking with us on Dakota Midday. And Dave and Poe, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on the program.
We appreciate you having us.
Really appreciate it.